Welcome in to the newest edition of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. I am your owner and host, Justin Jackson. And in this week's episode, we'll be discussing the conference championship games in the NFL and an instant reaction. And we'll also have a quick outlook on the NFL Super Bowl. Now, as always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the Just In Time Sports Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, don't forget to follow the social media handle at JTime Sports. I repeat, at JTime Sports. But now, sit back and get ready to learn something.
JTS. Yeah. Just In Time Sports.
Life is good.
Look, this is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform, we growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts, we create the separation. Louisiana till I die is where I'm from, I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Wright or I'm Jason. ESPN better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake.
He can never show you fake. He can never show you fake.
If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight.
He gon' tell it to you. He gon' tell it to you. He gon' tell it.
This is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes.
Come and get it.
He gon' tell it to you straight. To you straight.
Welcome into the show, and welcome in to the instant reaction for the conference championship game. And if you hear that noise, it means the Kansas City Chiefs are continuing their march into the Super Bowl. The evil empire is continuing to move forward in the NFL. They are continuing to cause havoc. Two very, very different games. We're going to start off with the NFC. The NFC went first. We're going to start off with them. The final score was worse than the game played. I feel like the Eagles had an opportunity to put their foot on people's necks and to send a message, and they did. The final score ends up being Philadelphia 55, Washington 23. The game was a six-point game as far as the point spread when the game started. But I feel like the Philadelphia Eagles had an opportunity to really squeeze down on the Commanders and to show off a lot of strength and to show off a lot of passion. And that's what they did. Now, I'm not a proponent of pulling off. It's the NFL. And one of the touchdowns was scored by the backup. Now, the Commanders had also subbed by that point. But one of the touchdowns was scored by the backup running back. It's not like Kenny Pickett came in throwing a ball over the yard. That was no truly out-of-bounds stuff. But two things. It's professional sports, and that's your division rival. And it's the playoffs. So if there's any situation in professional sports in which I think you should kind of throw the unwritten rules of the game out the window, it'd be a situation where it's your division rival, it's the playoffs, and it's to go to the Super Bowl. Like, outside of thinking in your head, okay, if Saquon twists an ankle or Jalen Hurts already on one knee, maybe gets caught under a pile or something, could they be injured? Then yes. You know, I mean, pulling your stars in that case. But as far as, you know, pulling up, I don't think that's something that should happen in the playoffs. But they didn't. Run through some numbers really quickly. Jaden Daniels in his first conference championship game, which kudos to him. Before I get into this, congratulations to the Washington Commanders. Kudos to Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, you're a star. To me, you're top five in the NFL. I've always said the best four quarterbacks play in the AFC, and the fifth might have as well. That fifth is you. Now, you can argue with you and Matt Stafford as the fifth, whatever. But to me, the big four is Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Burrow. Then there's a small gap And then I think it might be Mahomes, a gap. And then Burrow Allen and Lamar, a little gap. And then you get to the Jaden Daniels and Matt Stafford of the world. But again, the big four play in the AFC. And then, of course, I think Jaden Daniels is the fifth best quarterback in the league. I said it last week. I'm going to reiterate on that. But congratulations to them. You went from the number two overall pick to 12-5 and playing in the conference championship game as one of the last four. So congrats. You go from pick 2 to 29. I think they need to be smart with their money. They have, I actually saw the stat the other day. See if I can get my hands on it again. But I saw the stat the other day. I sent it in a group message. Oh, there it is. This is from Pro Football Focus. Over the cap, and they got that from over the cap. The Commanders will enter next offseason with the most cap space in the league. They will enter with $89.64 million. In the NFL, you can easily make that 100. That's a couple of cap conversions away from making that over $100 million in cap space. They'd be third in the league behind the Raiders with 92 and the Patriots with 120, which the most popular number for the Patriots is to say 131 because that's how easy you can create money. You can create $10 to $20 million with relative ease as an NFL GM. And so I think the Commanders may end up crossing north of $100 million in available cap space. They need to go out, in my opinion, they need to draft defense. It's cheaper. You can use it, especially with your head coach being a defensive guy. I would draft defense, and I would go pay offense. Like, I know people are talking about, like, T. Higgins being a Bengal. If I'm him, I go to him and be like, yo, your problem is you want to play for a team that can contend or a winner, and you want to play, and you don't want to get doubled all the time. No one can double you all the time with you and Terry McLaurin. They'd be idiots. I'd go and be like, hey, $30 million a year, turn me down. You know, now if you turn it down, you turn it down. I mean, it is what it is. But they have to do something in Washington. But they got to do something in Washington, man. Like, their defense is awful. If I'm them, I'm in every defensive free agency meeting you can possibly get in. I mean, just that plain and simple. Every single one. Their defense is disgustingly awful. Now, they were missing Daron Payne. He's been out. I think he's injured. But that doesn't fix that secondary. Like, they're bad. At all levels. If there is a good free agent corner or a safety, or, you know, I'm in that meeting if I'm Washington. Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is better than what he showed. Whatever his hamstring problem is, it never got right. So they need to be fixing that hamstring as soon as possible, whether you got to go into an operate on it, whether you got to do a roundabout treatment over the next few months, whatever it is, you need to get that taken care of. But that secondary is tragically bad. But they're not bad personnel-wise offensively. You got Terry McLaurin. You can use another receiver. De'Ami Brown's number two isn't great. Probably upgrade at running back. They should keep their eye on the Derrick Henry thing. Would Derrick Henry go to Washington? I'm not sure. But I would keep my eye on a Derrick Henry. I would keep my eye on an Alvin Kamara. I would keep my eye on, I'm trying to think of good backs and bad situations. A couple of those Miami Dolphins running backs. I would keep my eye on the backup in San Fran. Like, I'll keep my eye on these different teams because you might end up getting a really good running back for maybe a fourth round pick. Like, if New Orleans is going to have to dump Kamara's salary, a third or fourth round pick may end up getting Kamara out of New Orleans, especially if Kamara wants to go to you. And you have Marshawn Lattimore in the building already, who could end up being like a mediator of sorts. But you got to do a lot. You're not far away in Washington. Outside of the Eagles, I mean, the NFC has the best rosters, top to bottom. But outside of the Eagles, there's no real complete roster in the NFL. Now, the Eagles it feels like two of everything. I mean, like, if they feel like, you know, it reminds me of, was it not the Chiefs? But it was one of those teams very recent, and I'm drawing a blank. Where it was like, yo, they got two good, like, everything. They got two good running backs. They got two good receivers. They got two corners. They got two, three exceptional linemen. Actually, it might have been the Chiefs at their peak. I mean, they got two good everything. Like, I've never seen a team like this with two good everything. This Philly team has two good everything. Like, think of a major position group. They got two good ones. I mean, running back, they kind of use Saquon solo, but even the backup came in and got a touchdown. They got A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. They got Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. They got Nolan Smith and N'Kobe Dean. They got Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. Like, they have two good everything. And so that's a really impressive roster. That is the most complete roster in the NFL, top to bottom. I don't think they're the best, except probably Saquon at running back at any singular position. And they have an argument at defensive tackle with Carter and Jordan Davis. They have an argument at DT. But even then, I'd probably take Jeffrey Simmons over them. Or Chris Jones, when Chris Jones is playing in that position. However, they have really exceptional rooms, which is hard to do in the NFL. Like, every positional room you go in has two really good guys in it. But back to Washington, you're not far off, right? You're not far off at all. You have your quarterback. You have him very salary controlled for the next 4 years. Because even the fifth-year option is like $20-something million, which is considerably less than what he'd get on the open market. Whenever you re-sign him, he's going to go north of 45, maybe even north of 50. So you're going to go, the way the salary cap started, he might go north of 60. So 23 or 25 is a bargain. So for the next 4 years, you have to take advantage of this. That's what I'm saying. Go out and get your money. You got Terry McLaurin. T. Higgins, George Pickens. You need another receiver. Nyami Brown would be an amazing three. You need to go out. Ronnie Staley in Baltimore. You need to go out and see what that's about. You definitely need to work into getting more players. Offensively, I think you can pay. I think the draft is going to be your spot for defense. I'm not sure what the free agent outlook looks like for the defensive side of the ball. The offense side has been getting more love, but they need a secondary. They need to be working to see. They need to be calling every team about their first or second best corner. Everybody. Like, everyone needs to be on their phone list. They're bad in the secondary. Dan Quinn can only do so much. He tried to heat people up. He tried to blitz. He tried all kind of stuff to try and hide the secondary, and you just couldn't. Every time they would bottle up Philly in the run game, then they'd just throw an out route or throw a curl, and A.J. Brown would whoop the corner and first down. And it's just like, bro. Like, at a certain point, X's and O's no longer matter. It becomes down to Jimmy's and Joe's. And those Jimmys are average Joes. Those guys are bad. So Washington, I mean, you have a good outlook. You have a lot to build on. You got some talent. I like Luvu. He kept diving over the line. That was pretty wild. But like, Chin, Jonathan Allen's good. Luvu's good. I like Bobby Wagner. I don't know how much he has. I don't know how many years he has left in him. And the rest of these guys are very yawns. They're very, very average. And average is being kind on some of them. But let's run through the numbers really, really quickly. Jaden Daniels, 29 of 48, 255, one touchdown, one pick, QBR of 83 on a scale of 0 to 100. He also led the team rushing with 48 yards and a touchdown. Zach Ertz was the leading receiver for the Commanders, 104 yards. And 104 yards, no touchdowns. Terry McLaurin caught the one touchdown. They fumbled three times and lost all three fumbles. Right? And the Eagles scored touchdowns, I believe, of all three. So even if you take away 20, I mean, they still lose, take away the fumbles, but momentum. It was like you're down, or the big one, which is the kick return one, the Jerry McNichols one. And the De'Aaron Brown one hurt too, but the Jerry McNichols one, you get a stop, you're down eight. You're about to give the ball to Jaden Daniels. He hasn't really been stopped, and you fumble. And it's just like, no, they'd only cost him 3 points, I believe. But we don't know what momentum Jaden – I mean, Jaden just went in for a great drive. He was trying to bring it back, and then, bam, you fumble. And then the De'Ami Brown one on a great Jaden pass, you come across the middle, maybe trying to do a little too much, and you fumble. But three turnovers, all fumbles. It hurts, especially when you go to the team numbers, and we did this last week. You go to the team numbers, Jaden actually outplayed Hurts. to me, but you go to the team numbers and you have a thrown interception and you have 3 lost fumbles, 4 turnovers, 0. Plain and simple, you cannot win that way. And what I want to look at, and I know most people won't talk about this, oh, the line ended up closing at 6.5. But most people won't end up talking about this. At one point, the time possession was 12 minutes to 2 minutes for the Commanders. It was, you know, it was early second quarter, but at one point it was like 12 to 2 because Saquon hit his head on the goalpost from like 60. And then they had another drive that was pretty fast too. But it was 12 to 2 or 15 to 2 at one point in time possession. The Eagles end up winning time of possession at the end. So every advantage Washington might have been getting from hurrying up and holding the position, holding the Eagles personnel groups and so on and so forth, they kind of gave the advantage back at the end of the game. Like I said, Philly ends up leading time of possession. But flipping to the Eagles numbers, Jalen Hurts, very solid game. 20 of 28, 246, 1 touchdown with a QBR of 72. On a scale of 0 to 100 with a passer rating of 110, Jaden Daniels' passer rating was 73. Saquon Barkley, 15 carries, a buck 18, 3 touchdowns. Will Shipley, who was the backup I talked about, he had 77 yards on 4 carries and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts had 16 yards on 10 carries, most of them tush pushes with 3 touchdowns. The Phillies are running for 229 yards and 7 touchdowns, and it speaks to the lack of Commanders defensive talent, but also Philly is one of the best rushing attacks in the league. AJ Brown leads the Eagles in receiving with 96 yards and a touchdown, with Goddard coming in second with 85 yards and a touchdown. But you had guys make plays like Zach Bond. You had guys with Reed Blankenship and Kenneth Gainwell picking up fumbles. It was a game in which the Eagles flat out dominated that game. They broke the conference championship record in points with 55. They also tied the conference championship record with 7 rushing touchdowns. Absolute domination. Insane, right? It was insane from start to finish. Game was early. A couple of questionable calls early. Game was close early. And then the Eagles just pulls away at the end. To dominate on the way out. If you check the box score, which I'm trying to get the scoring box, for some reason it's not listed under box score. Scoring summary. The Eagles score at one point, it is 12 to 14. It's the closest it gets. In the second quarter with 7 minutes left, and that's when the Commanders still dominating time possession. It goes touchdown, Eagles, field goal, Commanders, touchdown, Eagles, field goal, touchdown, Commanders, touchdown, Eagles, touchdown, Eagles, touchdown, Eagles. I mean, it explodes in the second half. The Eagles win the second half 28-7. And I mean, and that's the game. So congratulations to the Eagles. They advance to the Super Bowl for the first time in 4 years. Since the last time they played the Kansas City Chiefs, which is ironic because here come the Kansas City Chiefs again as they take down the Buffalo Bills again in the playoffs, 32-29 in a classic of a game, in a great game, in a great AFC title game. Very typical of the Chiefs this year. They don't really cover the spread. And the spread, I think we end up going 1-1 this week because we end up getting the spread at minus 2.5. Remember, I was saying if it was at 3, I'm on the Bills all day. It ended at 3, right? But we end up getting the spread at minus 2.5. So we took the Chiefs and we end up on the good side of it. So we end up 1-1 this week in Jack's Pack. When the current betting line for the Super Bowl, for those who are interested, is minus 1.5 for the Chiefs. Basically, pick them. Anything under 3 to me is pick them, because it's kind of hard to win by 2 in the NFL. So I treat anything under 3 as pick them. So, I mean, that's why I went Chiefs. I figured the Chiefs would win the game. I was leaning towards Bills. I was making a case for the Bills, and then it just ended up not. It just didn't work for me. I remember live switching on the pod to the Chiefs. And so the Chiefs get the nod in the AFC Championship game. The Evil Empire, man. I mean, they just find a way to do it. They were assisted. They were assisted, but we'll get to that. Let's run through the numbers first. Josh Allen, 22 of 34, 237, two touchdowns, no picks, QBR of 71, on a scale of 0 to 100, passer rating of 104. Remember, passer rating go up to 158.3, although a really good when it's anything above 110. James Cook led the way in rushing with 13 carries for 85 yards and two touchdowns. Josh Allen pitched in a 39. Mac Hollins was the Buffalo Bills' best receiver, 73 yards on three catches and a touchdown. James Cook came in second with 49 yards on three catches. The Bills somehow recovered every fumble. They had four. I remember Nick Wright tweeted it out that the Bill, there was four fumbles in the game, which on this thing it has five, but there's always five fumbles in the game, and the Bills recovered every single one. So that's pretty wild. It's a pretty wild statistic there. And then on the Chiefs side, Patrick Mahomes, 18 of 26, 245, and a touchdown with a QBR of 87 and a passer rating of a buck 11. Kareem Hunt led the way with rushing, 64 yards and 17 carries, one touchdown. Patrick Mahomes with 43 yards on 11 carries and two touchdowns. Xavier Worthy led the way in receiving, 85 yards on six catches and a touchdown. With Juju Smith-Schuster somehow, some way, with two basically 30-yard catches for 60 yards and no touchdowns. Like I said, and then they had the one fumble was lost. It was four total fumbles here. The Bills found a way to pick up all four, and they also somehow find a way to not win this game. But if you look at – just look at the scoring summary – you know, Chiefs win the first quarter 7-3, but then they tie, or they go, both have two touchdowns in the second quarter, except the Chiefs two touchdowns counted for 14. The Bills counted for 13 because they went for a 2-point conversion and missed it. And then they score again, but instead of accounting for another 7, counted another 6 because they went for a 2-point conversion and missed again. And then the Bills come down, get a touchdown, convert their 2-point conversion. When the Bills come down and tie with 6:15, the Chiefs drive it again, get a field goal at 3:33, and then they hold on. They force a late pressure. They send a late pressure. Allen flips it up. Dalton Kincaid drops it. I mean, it was a pretty hard catch, but it did hit both of his hands. NFL players should have caught that. It was on fourth down. Typical fourth down. Chiefs get the ball with 2:30 left. No, it was under 2-minute warning. You're around a 2-minute warning. You're never seeing the ball again, right? And that's what happened. The Bills never got the ball again. Two big passing conversions from Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs win ball game, and they're going back to the Super Bowl. Now, there was some controversy in this game, and it feels like it's always some controversy when it comes to the Chiefs. And there's two ones I want to address first. There's one that's kind of funny, and then there's one that's like, okay, that was a bad situation. I'll start off with the funny one. So the funny one, it's on the Josh Allen play I'm referencing, where he runs to his right and they send a person. He jumps up and flips it and it hit Kincaid. And I'm saying Kincaid, but I hope it's not. If it's not Kincaid, I feel bad for saying it's Kincaid repeatedly. Let me double check it. Actually, I could definitely figure that out. Yeah, Kincaid. It was Kincaid. So yeah, Dalton Kincaid dropped it. But a flag came out and ended up being like holding or hands to the face. It ended up being something on the Bills. And somebody on Twitter remarked that the flag came out just in case Kincaid caught it. And it was a little bit funny. It was like on the one time the Bills were trying to pull off a minor miracle, a flag came out anyway. It was like, just in case. Just in case he messes around and catches this, we're going to make sure the Chiefs win anyway. But the one that is serious, and the one I want to comment on, is the fourth down situation. Now, before I get into this, I understand that football is not a ref situation. Football is not, you know, oh, this one play changed. Typically, this one play changed differently, we win. A 60-minute football game, there's 100-something plays. Typically, in the NFL, it doesn't come down to one or two, right? And even off this one, who knows, butterfly affected, who knows what happens after this occurs, right? Like, we don't know. However, I do specifically want to talk about the fourth down play with Josh Allen sneaking in. Now, Joe Brady didn't call the world's best game. He had a bunch of screen passes. They ran a lot of tush pushing. It was a very interestingly off called game by Joe Brady, right? But it's fourth and one, and you come out and tush push time, drops his head. But Josh is taller than Jalen, so it's not the Eagles' touch push, obviously. But they get it to where we can see on video from all angles, Josh Allen bodies over the line. Now, where the ball is, if it's in the middle of his stomach, it's a first down. If it's in his chest, it's a really obvious first down. My thing was, first, the refs come in at two different spots. The ref who can see the ball is further up than the ref who is his perspective is blocked by Josh Allen's body. Like, Josh Allen's back is facing him, so he can't see the ball. The referee who Josh Allen's front is facing, where the ball is, came in with a further spot. They ultimately move the spot to the judge, who was looking at Josh Allen's back. He can't see the ball. So how is he the overriding official? He can't see the ball. But anyway, they move it back. So then they go to replay to check the spot from what is the only... I'm trying to basically make what happened rationalize in my head. And the only thing I can think of what happened was they went to replay to verify if the spot was correct. Not if it was a first down or a fourth or a stop, but to check the spot purely and totally. Well, they went back to replay, and apparently the spot stood. There was inconclusive evidence to overturn the call. They then award the ball to the Chiefs. Okay. I have multiple issues with this. I'm going to start off with this. Number one, it is obvious he's past the first down. Now, the angle to go straight down the line, you could not see the ball because of Chris Jones' body. Chris Jones stands up right in front. I mean, like, perfectly in the camera view. You can't see the ball at all. However, if you use logic, there was only half of Josh Allen's body behind the first down. That half was his legs. So unless he was holding the ball with his knees, he has a first down. One of the angles people are showing, everything's in front of the first down except his foot. So again, unless he's holding the ball in his ankles, it's a first down. Let's just start off with that. Secondly, and the second major thing I have a problem with, I didn't actually even notice it at first. It was brought to my attention. There was no measurement on that play. So if the replay was truly to say, hey, we want to make sure the spot's right, that's fine. No issue there at all. But that was not a measurement, like where they run out with the chains and measure to see how close and far away you are. There was no measurement. They just said first down, Chiefs. And I didn't even notice it at first. Like I said, it was brought to my attention, and the tweeting about it and so on and so forth. But there was no measurement besides just replay. Now, if it was a situation to replay assist, okay, kind of. But even then, there should be a measurement into telling us where that football was. Like I say, if we can debate the spot, whatever, but that was not even a measurement. So that was two things I had an issue with. And honestly, I just think the Bills just did not coach this game well. Joe Brady clearly was trying to avoid the Chiefs pass rush and kind of neutralize Spagnuolo's famous blitzing. However, Spagnuolo didn't blitz all that much, especially in early downs. He was sending on third down, but he didn't really blitz that much early down. So a lot of times when they were when the Bills were just standing up and flipping screens and having all these RPO bubbles and et cetera, they were trying to do it against a blitz, and there was no blitz. So it was either outnumbered by the Chiefs or at least even numbered. And if you're not prepping to beat that player in an even number open field situation, you're probably not going to. And so the receivers had a hard time really maneuvering the ball down the field because they were getting hit almost immediately due to, again, the focus of the offense. And then also on the defensive side of the ball, I get there was injuries. I understand that there was injuries. Injuries happen, right? But if Buffalo's game plan was to play man coverage, whenever it became a lot of DeMar Hamlin and Kyrie Elam, that strategy of man coverage should have gone out the window. Now, sprinkle it in to kind of change the look, but you should have gone to a primary cover three, cover two type scheme. Or primarily too high. If you're going to play man, don't zero it. You know, it's too high, bring an extra rusher or something. But they kept putting Kyrie Elam or DeMar Hamlin in a bad spot, and it felt like they kept going to either Kyrie Elam or DeMar Hamlin all night long. And it was repeated, right? Like, it wasn't a one-time thing. They did it over and over again. They found that they had weakness. They found they had a fish on the line, and they didn't let him go. So I definitely think that happened as well. And then the Chiefs, they're situationally excellent. I was saying, a group of my friends were all watching it. We were all in different cities. We was all you know, watching it together via FaceTime. And I said it at one point. I said, man, all the Chiefs games look alike. Like, they're close. They're battles. You make mistakes, they don't, but they don't really capitalize on mistakes, but you don't get the points off of them. And then I was like, it's going to be a last drive. They're either going to be down three or up three. If they're down three, they're going to score a touchdown with about 25 seconds left. And if you're up three, you're never seeing the ball again in that scenario. If they're up three, you're never seeing the ball again in that scenario. And that's exactly what happened. They're just so good situationally, end of game, time score, stuff you hear like Brady talk about and some of the other great quarterbacks, they're just so good at time and score that it makes it really hard to beat them. There is no, man, we can just make the Chiefs go three and out. We can get the ball back with a minute 40. That's never going to happen. Now, they may go five or six and out in terms of they get a first down, and then they can't really bowl as much, and you get the ball back with 40 seconds left. Like, yeah, that's possible, but as far as just disrupting their operation, that's not going to happen. And that's the level the Chiefs have made it to, especially Patrick Mahomes. And so a shout out to those two teams, man, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. But I want to give a shout out really quickly, and that is to the Buffalo Bills, man. Y'all have a great team, right? And I get it hurts. But y'all have a great team. You have your superstar quarterback, Josh Alien, as I like to call him. You could use another receiver. You don't have anything special over there. Keon Coleman can be, but you don't have anything really special over there. And getting corners, apparently, if you're going to play that aggressive style, you need DBs that can defend. So that is the top priorities if you are in the if you're in their department, that's definitely the top demands and things that you want to check out is those attributes. But preview of the Super Bowl. Now, we talked about the betting line opening up at 1.5 point favorite for the Chiefs. I think that betting line may creep up to 2.5. Because, again, 1.5 is basically pick 'em. So I think that line may creep up a full point to 2.5. For the Kansas City Chiefs, you have the opportunity of immortality. And yes, you're already a gang of immortals, but to three-peat to win 4 Super Bowls in 7 years, including a three-peat, is something that no one ever thought possible in the NFL, and they're 60 minutes away from achieving it. Oh, absolutely insane. Insane work. However, the Philadelphia Eagles have a lot on their minds in this Super Bowl. You have the last time these teams played in the Super Bowl 4 years ago, the Chiefs escape with their lives. You got a guy like Saquon Barkley, who has never played in meaningful football in his time in New York. He's now run his team up into the Super Bowl. You got Jalen Hurts, who's looking like, man, I'm back. It's almost like deja vu. I'm back to play the Kansas City Chiefs. Man, it's going to be an absolute battle. Like I said, I think that -1.5 gets bet up to 2.5. But it's going to be a fun one, man. And shout out to everyone who's participating in the NFL season. It has been a lot of great discourse. And, of course, we'll get into it with the YouTube show and JTS and then this show. The audio show, of course, we'll talk maybe later this week, early next week. We'll be getting together for sure. But that is all I have for the day. Make sure you like, rate, and subscribe to the Just in Time Sports Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, don't forget to follow at JTime Sports for all of your breaking news and updates. Now, this is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out. Thank you.